Hour number two of the show, we have a line switch. Seth Meyers. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. I just did. Has left the building, did a great job, and he prevented anyone named Joe Starkey from getting on under an alias. So now, Joel Nelson, the responsibility is yours. There will be no Joe Starkey saying, hey, Bob. And if you at that point, if that happens, then you're going to be probably going to the back, and I'm going to have to come in there and double dip here. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm talking about, right? You know all his tricks.
I do know his
tricks. You know his tricks. Okay. So 412-928-9370. We have a lot to get into, as we said last hour. Open lines until 1 o'clock. And then Josh Rountree will be here taking you through the afternoon. The Riverhounds Miami FC, that'll be over at Highmark Stadium tonight. Riverhounds on a little bit of a roll. And you can also watch that one on KDK Plus if you don't make it over. But that's a great little venue there to watch soccer. And down the road, it'll be a great venue to see some concerts. Because I know Tuffy Schallenberger, the owner of the team. And by the way, wish the best to the family there as they lost Tuffy's dad, Terry, to a cancer battle this past week. So we'll be thinking about Terry tonight at the game. And bottom line is they're gonna do some expansion, hopefully, over there. And it's going to make a big difference in terms of bringing some really good concerts to Highmark Stadium. In the meantime, we have a lot to get into from Game 7s. Do you like Game 7s? Are Game 7s too defensive-minded for you? We have Toronto and Boston tonight. That's 8 p.m. Boston blew a 3-1 series lead last year to Florida and lost 4-3. Well, they had a 3-1 lead over Toronto without Austin Matthews. And what's happened? Toronto's won 2 without Matthews, the best goal scorer in the game. And now the pressure's on them not to allow that to happen, because no team in NHL history has gone back-to-back years blowing 3-1 series leads, and they could be the first. Then you have tomorrow, Vegas at Dallas, a Game 7. Dallas lost last night to Vegas. 2-0 was that final score. Vancouver eliminated Nashville 1-0. They win the series in 6. Rick Tocchet, Jim Rutherford and company, they'll be moving on. And Tocchet found out this week he is a finalist for the Jack Adams Award winner. Tomorrow, interesting series, Carolina versus the New York Rangers. Jake Guentzel and New York moving on in those series. We've been talking a lot about Henry Davis getting demoted. And what's it going to take for him to get back here? And to me, it doesn't really matter what position he occupies. He just has to bring the bat. That is what's sorely missing from this lineup here, as the Pirates sputtered again last night. You know, losing. And I saw someone yesterday say, hey, you got the Rockies in town. That's their anecdote. That's what's going to take it to, to change. I said, well, first of all, the Rockies are 7-4. You get swept by Oakland, you're very much vulnerable to getting swept or lose the series to a team like Colorado. And wouldn't you know it, that they end up losing last night 3-2. And they've just gone 4 straight games, I think, without getting multiple hits in any one inning of those games. That's just not a good situation to be in. They got to make some changes. We'll see what happens. Yasmani Grandel likely will be catching tonight. Meantime, in the NBA, we saw the Mavs eliminate the Clippers, so they're up next with OKC, a really good team. And now this will be a good test. You have two veteran stars in Doncic, and specifically Kyrie Irving, who's now 13-0 in elimination games, as there was one last night, against young stars like Chet Holmgren, along with SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and others from OKC. They have a guy named Giddy who can be Giddy from the outside. Then you have Orlando and Cleveland in a Game 7 tomorrow in Cleveland. Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner staved off elimination last night despite 50 from Donovan Mitchell. So, NFL news, I also wanted to hear from you about what your take is on Najee Harris and the Steelers declining his fifth-year option. I don't think that's that big of a deal, only because he's here this year. And if he has a good year, you can control what he does next year through a franchise tag or a long-term extension if you want. He's also in a position where he becomes a free agent after this year if they don't do that. So it's all on Najee Harris. He has to perform. He should be motivated to perform. He and Jaylen Warren still a very good combination in the backfield. We'll talk about that and more as we go. 412-928-9370. Todd Reirden out as the Penguins associate head coach, as well as the leader of the power play, which this year ended up 15.3%. That's 30th in the NHL, and there was no other way around that. Mike Sullivan may not have been happy with it, but something had to happen. There are going to be a lot of coaching openings here, and we're going to be interested to see what happens with those. Let's go back to the lines. We'll begin in Rich in Forest Hills. What's up, Rich? How are you?
Good, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Taking a trip down memory lane, I've been saying for years that even like 15 minutes after Shelton was hired, he's not the guy for the job. If Sullivan gets you hear this in Pittsburgh all the time. If Sullivan gets fired, he'll have a job in 15 minutes. If Tomlin gets fired, he'll have a job in 15 minutes. Funny how you don't hear that said when Shelton's brought up. You know, but my bigger point is that part of what I think makes a team successful, and Jim Rutherford's an example of this, he wasn't the ideal general manager, but he was willing to walk away from this mistake. You know, changes are needed with this team. The simplest thing to do, since you can't change 24 position players, is to change managers. It's not like you have the next Craig Counsell here. I mean, this guy is I'm the equivalent of him as a manager. And I think that they, you know, if they can't do the simple things to change this team, maybe they should do what the Marlins did this weekend and start shedding parts that aren't important. You got to remember, their best players, excluding Skeen, are B. You know, I'd probably give Hayes a B and Reynolds a B. I mean, O'Neill Cruz, and this is another thing I've said in the past. This guy is not a baseball player, and I was happy to read this in an article this past weekend. I forget who wrote it. He just reminds me of Gregory Polanco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got this kind of like Lego set of skills, but you can't put them together in a way that actually looks – you can make a Lego person, but you can't make a Lego baseball player. He just doesn't – he's never looked like a baseball player.
No, and he's not – he seems not to be developing. You can say that about a lot of those guys on that team.
Well, and that goes back to the manager. I know that it drives you crazy when people say, do this one thing. They need about 15 things. The simplest thing to do would be to get rid of Shelton and get a manager in there that's going to ask them to wear their big boy pants. I never understood this notion that the manager can't criticize the players. I think some of the best managers have been critical of their players. It sends a message at the appropriate time. Not all the time.
Yeah, no, I think it depends on the room, but I agree with you. I think there's nothing wrong with doing it. But first you have to do it in their face, in the locker room. Then you could take it to the media. If you don't do it in their face, and I don't know sometimes what goes on behind the scenes, but I know this, Mike Sullivan – behind the scenes can be very critical of players to their face. He may not want to take it to. Sometimes, though, you got to send a message everywhere and just say, this is unacceptable behavior. We got to do better than this. If not, you know, we got to start making changes. And to your point about Jim Rutherford, and thanks for the call, Rich, I agree with that. He was willing to make changes. He was willing to say, I don't like this. When Mike Johnston was named as head coach, it didn't work. He was quick to pull the trigger. He was quick to say, we're going to make a change. And I have the guy in Wilkes-Barre who will be that guy. So, you know, there are a lot of things that a GM can do. You know, he was not shy about trading first-round picks to get what he wanted to win. And he's kind of done that in Vancouver, too. He's brought in players, and he's made big trades. Lindholm got a big goal the other night in overtime. You can't stand for the same stuff over and over again. And if you do, what are you doing? 412-928-9370, our show brought to you by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Next up, we will go to Bill in Canonsburg. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you on this Saturday?
Hey, I'm fine, Pomp. Good to talk to you again.
You too.
Hey, just real quick, and here's something that I think could add speed and add quickness and add some thump to the lineup. And I know it's AAA players, but why couldn't you bring Bay up to replace Sawinski? He's batting near 400. Bring Gonzalez up to replace Triolo at second base. He's batting near 400. And Lamb is close to 400. And DFA to Les. And when all three of them get here, put him in the lineup and just tell them to ignore anything Andy Haynes tells them. That's all I got, Bob. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Well, I wouldn't agree with bringing guys up. I mean, if other things aren't working, then you got to make changes. And again, Tellez would be out for me as well. I would put Triolo or Connor Joe at first based on how it's gone. Or if you want to bring up Lamb, go ahead, bring him up. But he's had a history of not performing well at the major league level. We'll see. But he's doing well down there. But they need some sort of change here, especially with these teams that you would thought at the beginning of the season they'd be able to handle. Jake in Brentwood joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Bob, I mean, did you see the trade last night between the Padres and Marlins?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've seen the three prospects that the Padres gave up. They're nobodies, okay? Nobody.
Well,
they're not even in their top 10. None of the three are in their top 10.
That doesn't mean they won't be good players, but I get what you're saying, yes.
But so here, listen to me out. Okay, Bubba Chandler, Nick Gonzalez, and any other prospect on the Pirates you want to put together in a trade chip package, they could bring somebody in, and they could do it now. A power first baseman. I mean, I like Ryan McMahon, the guy that they're playing against this weekend, or Charlie Blackman. Go out and get one of them.
I like McMahon better than Blackman just because he's older, and I'm not willing to go there.
Blackman's more of a first baseman, though, I think. And that's really what the Pirates need.
Yeah,
power hitting first
what
baseman.
They need more than anything is for all of their players to, you know. I looked at this lineup the other day. I couldn't believe it. In Oakland, there were five guys who were under 170. Three others were right around 200 or below or slightly above, and that was it. I mean, just you can't have this, period.
I'm just saying the Pirates have the trade chips. They can go out and bring in a superstar right now if they really need it.
I don't know about a superstar, but you're right. There are teams out there.
Trade chips. Hey,
listen, Jake, I agree with you. I wouldn't be afraid of doing it. Prospects are there, and if you don't, you draft a whole bunch of them. Look how many rounds they have, and thanks for the call in baseball. They can package whomever they want, even if it's Tamar Johnson. If you're willing to go there and say, hey, we'll give you him for this. We need this now. If you want to win now, you've got to think outside the box sometimes. And just waiting and waiting and waiting for prospects to develop. Again, I go back to 5 years now of Ben Cherington as the GM. What do they have hitting-wise in their system that makes you think any of them are capable of doing anything on a consistent basis? You know, Reynolds and Cruz were brought in here under Huntington in trades. He did bring in Sawinski, but, man, Jack doesn't look very good right now. He's young. He needs to get it together. You got to do something to shake things up. I do agree with that. Let's go to Mike in Uniontown, who joins us here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Bob, what's shaking in the Steelers receiving core?
What's that again?
What's going on with the Steelers receiving core?
That's a good question. Idea? Not much right now. I know there was a lot of – first of all, when it comes to social media speculation, you have to be very leery of everything. You can get sucked into a rabbit hole that takes you in all these different players, but there are people out there who they can. I don't think any of the free agents left because we saw, not that I would want Chase Claypool. Buffalo did, though. They got him, and then Odell Beckham Jr. I wouldn't want him either. Miami got him. They're not Tyler Boyd's out there, but this is a long process. He hasn't been able to agree to anything. I don't know if I'd go there either. I may still make a trade, but I don't think there's any time deadline involved with this. But they'd need more help. As it is right now, you're expecting Roman Wilson to come in and be a significant number two. I don't think that's a logical expectation. He could be good at what he does in a slot, but they need help. They still need more help, and I don't think they're done making this roster. So,
hey, Bob, I'm still scratching my head about getting rid of Johnson. What was the deal on that?
He was one of those guys whose his attitude got in the way of anything he could have done for this team, apparently. I mean, you saw plays last year where he just quit. And that's not a good thing. And then there were, you know, things in the locker room that they didn't like, so they moved on from him. I give them credit for that. You know, they brought in a cornerback who hopefully will be helpful to them because they still need cornerbacks here, my younger ones.
Yeah, they do. Hey, Bob, thank you
All
for
right,
your
Mike.
Time, buddy.
Appreciate it, as always. 412-928-9370. Greg in Mount Washington. Greg, you're on the air right now. What's going on?
How you doing, Bob? I wanted to speak on Najee Harris. I think Najee Harris is a great running back.
Great's not the right word. I don't know that great is the right word.
I think he's a great running back, man. He got some downplay. Last year, the Steelers had a better team than their record indicated. And I think he'll get his bonus money in the upcoming season. Just be a little patient. And the Pirates, they need to just get rid of the whole team. They just a bunch of losers. The owner's a loser. All of them losers, man. Just get rid of them. Have a good day.
All right, Greg, you have a good day, too. I will say again, I don't think this Najee Harris decision one way or the other is a big deal. It really isn't. $6.7 million, I thought they'd do it just because it isn't a big deal. You know, you can have him this year and next and then cut ties with him if need be, but they still can have that because they control his franchise tag if they want to use it. He's going to make $6.7 million if they had picked up the option. Now we don't know what he's going to be worth. All the emphasis is on him. He has to be motivated, come in, and prove to them and the league that he deserves more. And if he does it, he'll get it. If not, then they'll move on. That's the life of a running back in a game that has kind of devalued the running back. Although I'm not one of them. I don't devalue running backs. I think because the system financially has doesn't mean they're not important. When you think of who touches the ball more in any offense, you can say quarterback, okay, let's eliminate quarterback. It's running backs, right? More so than receivers. You know, it's now you got tackles who are making tons of money, and I understand why, because it's very important. But still, you got to have some running backs. And I'm not saying you can't find them. You find them in a lot of different places. So I would never, again, draft a running back in the first round. I know Atlanta did last year with Bijan Robinson. It was Arthur Smith who did it. That tells you what he wants to do as an offensive coordinator. So the run game. And maybe they just want to see how this all looks. There was no pressure on the Steelers to do this one way or the other. If they want to control him next year, they can. They don't have to worry about it. They can do it through a franchise tag. We got to go to a break. We have Big Al. We have Guy, Tom, Jerry, DJ. A lot of calls on the way. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. We're rolling along here. Joel Nelson will not allow Joe Starkey to call. If he does, then he will be replaced from that seat over there, Joel. Hate to put the pressure on you. 412-928-9370. Want to tell you our show is brought to you by number one Cochrane Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Ireland Contracting. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Also, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Shenderovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. A lot of people on the line, so let's get right to it and rattle and roll through these things. Josh Roundtree will be coming up at the top of the hour. Big Al in the car. Hey, Big Al, how are you today?
Hey, Bob, how are you doing? Enjoying the show.
Thanks.
The one point I would always like to make about the Pirates is that, you know, consistently over the last 10, 15, 20 years, they've had one of the worst records overall. You would think that with the talent they should have been able to draft, that just because of dumb luck, they should have some winning teams. You know, the thing with Nutting, we always hear about it, he doesn't spend money for the talent to put on the field. Do you feel that also translates into the money he spends for the coaches to develop these young players to get them ready for the big leagues?
Well, I don't think there's any question they need better coaches at all levels. I think a lot of teams would tell you that, based on some of the numbers we see. But I also am not going to be naive enough to think it's all just coaching, because if that were the case, then every one of these guys would be better based on what they're being instructed. It's up to players, too. And a lot of this, when you're in bat, it's about understanding how to work a pitcher. You know, I think that's lost in this day of power baseball. People are trying to swing for the downs at every opportunity, and oftentimes they fall behind in the count and make themselves available to a pitcher to dominate them in that regard. You see as many swings and misses. The Pirates are dead last in that. Strikeouts. They're doing a lot of undisciplined things. So that falls on coaching also. But it's also a two-way street. I'm never going to – just like I would say Todd Reirden being fired by the Penguins. It's not because he doesn't know power plays. He does. It's a combination of things, but he's the guy who's in charge of it. And the results at 15.3% this year, 30th in the NHL – are what they are, and they had to do something about it. If the players don't listen to coaches, that's a problem.
But what we hear with the players, though, you know, whenever drafts come up, you know, we hear about Paul Skeens, we hear about Henry Davis, these guys that, you know, pretty much are consensus, you know, first round top picks, top couple picks. What do you hear about their coaching staff, though? Do you hear that they're not spending the money there? Because you would think that the talent is there to start with, you know, at least.
Well, you would think so based on 1-1. And thanks for the call, Al. I think they should spend more. If it's up to me, I'd spend more, and I'd try to get better people all the way through the system. But I also know that when you get guys who are looked at as first-round picks, first overall, then the onus is on them too. If they botched the Henry Davis, and I'm not willing to go that far yet, it's still too early. But if they did, it's because they thought he can actually be a hitting catcher, which is a luxury in baseball. I've said this before, the Will Smiths of the world, you know, the Real Mutos of the world, those players, that's a big advantage. If you get a catcher who can be behind the plate 5 days a week and he hits the way they do, and that's what they thought they were getting. They were forced to throw him in right field. Now, he's done a pretty good job catching this year, but his bat has gone silent. And if it's too much for him to handle, then that's also a problem. I expect more, and they need to get more from him. Guy in California is joining us right now on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Guy.
Hey, Bob. You know, I agree with what you said about the firing of the Pens, power play coach Reirden. I mean, it's just moving around the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. And what you said, you know, the Pens, 15% power play. It's interesting that the two teams that the Pens should have gotten over that went to the playoffs, were the Islanders with 20%, the Caps with 20% on their power play percentage. And just one last point, as important as the power play is in the regular season, in the playoffs it's even more important. You saw that the Oilers were 45%, and they beat the Kings 4-1. The Kings only 0%, and the Rangers, who swept the Caps, were 37%, and the Caps only 12%. And the only outlier of all the series so far has been the Bruins in Toronto, where the Bruins are like 40% and Toronto's 5%. In the most competitive game, I don't know how much you've been able to watch it on the West Coast here, but with the Vegas Dallas game, they're essentially tied.
Right, that's why they're going to a game 7. Thanks for the call, guy. Right. But I agree. You know, when I looked at this season when they brought in Carlson, I mean, you would have thought, okay, this number one reason why the Penguins should make the playoffs is because their power play will be improved from what it was last year, and last year was not all that great. It was 21.7%, which is 14th. You would have expected it to get near 30%. The better teams had it. And that's what Edmonton has done. There's no question. They had, at one point, they were 8-15, almost 50%, over 50%, and they ended up at 45%. But still, I mean, that's how you win series, special teams and good goaltending. And so they dipped to 15.3% this year, even with all this talent on the ice. There's something wrong. No doubt, and that's why they made a change. And they who knows how this is going to move, you know, going forward. Tom at Oakmont joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Bob. Thanks. I'm a garden variety diehard Pittsburgh fan. I bleed black and gold. I think my doctors don't like it, but that being said, everything they've done for the last about 14 months, the Steelers, has been A plus, just wonderful, from taking Broderick Jones and the pass catcher there, and everything they've done has been really good until the other day there where they didn't re-up Harris, because he's like a Steeler.
It's not the first time.
John Henry Johnson running back award, because he's just has the Pittsburgh MO.
Yeah, but it's not like they didn't re-up. He's here this year.
I mean, they should have showed every confidence in the guy.
Well, they're not going to shy away from that. It's just that it's a business decision based on the fact that running backs generally last 3 to 4 years on a regular basis, the average. They believe that, you know, we'll put the onus on him. If he does this, he'll become a free agent. If we don't want to deal with him, we won't. If we do, we'll franchise him. He'll make more than what he would have probably made at $6.7 million. It's all up to him, and he's not going to be falling behind Jalen Warren in terms. I think you're going to see the same breakdown of carries.
Yeah. As an average fan, though, I don't like it. You know.
All right. Well, you have that right too. Thank you, Tom. Yeah. I don't think it's a big deal one way or the other. That's why, I mean, I think people made a big deal about it. Nobody made a big deal about Justin Fields because everyone knew $25 million is not what you should give a guy who hasn't really played to the level of a $25 million quarterback yet. Would he do it here? Would they agree to him in some sort of extension? They may do that. Russell Wilson's gone on record saying he wants to play until he's mid-40s. I don't believe that. If he can, that'd be great. But guess what? After this year, when they're paying him $1.5 million, if he has a really big year, guess what that price tag's going to jump to? And then you wonder about Fields moving on after. That's why these guys are both on one-year deals, essentially. They're both going to be free agents next year. There's a lot of stuff on the line. I am not at all against motivating players through contracts. If they're trying to do this with Najee Harris, good for them. And he should respond. If they're doing it with this group of, you know, if they don't give an extension to Wilson or Fields, they're doing it by saying, show me. I like show me. Show me more. You know, sometimes you get long guaranteed deals. Players don't respond to it as well as they should. They don't have any urgency to sign anyone right now. We'll see what they do moving forward. I want to see him play. Adam in Pittsburgh. Adam, you're up. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Hey, Pomp, big Pitt fan, and I kind of want to talk about Pitt today. So, as you probably know, it's been a pretty brutal offseason, right? You know, you had guys transfer out of the portal, some of our key defensive players.
Hayes being the biggest, yes.
Yeah. You know, I think the other issue that people don't realize is Pitt's not doing a good job recruiting the locals, right? They should be hammering the Central Catholics, the Aliquippas. And I think that comes down to Narduzzi. I don't think Narduzzi can connect with these kids anymore. It's a different type of kid. There's just so much going on with social media and things like that. And from what I've heard, he can't connect with the players. He's more of a authoritarian type of coach. And you're starting to see it with people leaving. They're not getting great recruiting classes.
Adam, I will tell you this.
The result.
I disagree that I think that's the reason. I think it's just an NIL reason, an opportunity to make money reason that goes beyond anything he can do. I think this whole system allows that. First of all, if it were me, I would limit. And I know sometimes, the horse is out of the barn on this stuff. But I would limit the amount of – you shouldn't be able to transfer every single year. This whole thing started with COVID. Now it's just gotten worse. People want to leave. They want to make money. They leave no matter – they may get an NIL deal and then leave after 1 year. What happens to the people who invest in those NIL deals? These are people who support the system. But if you're giving it to a player who leaves and you get nothing out of it other than giving it to him and not the program – you probably would be less interested in doing it. What if one of the guys you give an NIL to gets in trouble with the law, right? It's on you.
Yeah.
You're giving him money. Yep. So this whole system is just messed up right now, Adam. And I think Pitt, I think they do as good as they can recruiting locally. Could it be better? Sure, it could be. Penn State does a better job of that because they have a lot more to offer, I think, at this point of their football program. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Got to move along. One more call before we go to break, and that would be Richard in Peters Township. Richard, how you doing?
Good. Good question. Why don't the Pirates replace their batting coach? So I want to thank you.
I think they should, Richard. Thank you. I can squeeze one more in because of that, Joel. But I think they should at this point. They got to do something. They have to show people they're willing to do something. Ryan in New Jersey, you're up before we go to break. Steve in the car, hang on. I'll get to you after the break. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, Bob. First off, I'm really loving Omar Khan because he's a breath of fresh air for the Steelers because all the old reporters who say they're not going to do that are being proven wrong over and over again. That franchise was stale. They needed a jolt, and I think they're getting it. So let's hope for the best. But the reason I called was about the – and this is another media one – the Pens. Everybody – see, I've been an out-of-market Red Sox fan for like 30 years. And the Fenway Sports Group, there's a misconception about them because everybody says, well, they can't fire Sullivan because he's a Boston guy and they love Boston.
They
guys.
Do love him, though.
But Fenway Sports, John Henry and Tom Werner are not from Boston. They're not from Southie. They bought the Red Sox and they put them on the map. They won the four titles, which more credit to them because they did it a bunch of different ways. Then they got Liverpool and they put a lot of money into that. They're winning. Fenway Sports Group is different now. It's like a corporate real estate investment group now. They're trying to lure the Saudis into merging with the PGA. They're backing it with like billions
right.
of dollars.
Right. That's an untold story, and I think it's a good one. They were kind of the brokers in trying to get the Saudi and the PGA people together. That's how big a global thing they've become, which is why I don't think they necessarily care one way or the other what goes on here.
They don't. But I don't think the idea that they'll never fire him because from Boston is a misconception, and it's repeated like daily with not only the national reporters but the locals about Dubas. So, I mean, Sullivan may be fine. They may keep him just because of Crosby and because of disruption. But I can't see a scenario where it's off the table they would force him out. Because if it's not working, and it's not, what are you going to do? You're going to fire the players? I mean, that's at this point, it is really definition of insanity time. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Steve, hang on. You'll be coming up very first after the break here. It's 412-928-9370. I want to tell you that the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And then Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Thank you to number one Cochran. Thank you to PNC Bank. Thank you to Iron Rock Tap House. Thank you to Ireland Contracting. And thank you to Shendorovich, Shendorovich & Fishman. We will roll along right after this short timeout on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, moving right along. Joel Nelson behind the glass, taking your calls at 412-928-9370. We've been talking a lot about Najee Harris, fifth-year option, which, again, I'll say is not that big a deal one way or the other. They chose not to do it. That's okay. Harris should be motivated for sure. He and Warren will be big factors in whatever success they have this year with Arthur Smith in charge. They need a wide receiver. I don't think there's any question about that. They still need somebody to complement Pickens on the outside. If Roman Wilson is your slot guy, they have people, but they don't have the kind of people that I think need to take it to another level. So that'll be something Omar Khan continues to try to get to. And then OTAs start this week. We'll get a look at some of these guys over at the Southside facility. They have a lot of guys who are going to be at the end of contracts, including both quarterbacks, Fields and Russell Wilson. What will happen next? Do they approach Fields on something reasonable, and would he be interested in doing it? Meantime, the Pirates and the Rockies, again, game two of the series today at 4 o'clock. Pirates lost last night 3-2. They only got two meaningless runs late on a Cruz home run, but other than that, they were very anemic with their offense for how many games in a row now? They're 14-19, seven games out in last place. Riverhounds at home tonight against Miami FC at Highmark Stadium. We'll also carry it for you on KDK Plus tomorrow night, 11:35. Join us for the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown every Sunday night, 11:35 on KDKA-TV. We have a lot to get into tomorrow. Steve in the car has been waiting patiently. Let's get him on the air right now. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Okay, Bob. Enjoy the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being patient.
No problem, bud. No problem at all. Hey, Bob, I just want to talk about the first Najee real quick. I think what we did with Najee was the best move. I'm a little tired of hearing about it was a bad move, but no, it's a good move. We could get anybody for that kind way lower for that kind of money to run through the holes through the great line that Omar seems to have designed for the years to come. But anyways, I want to talk more about the Buccos. If we get rid of the management, okay, you bring in a high-paying manager and a new hitting coach, what have you. But you look at our lineup. Our lineup is just horrible. Last night going into the game, Cotton Davis, too, this is before the transaction he went down. We had seven guys batting 219 or less. That's horrible.
Yeah, and of those seven, five are under 200. I mean, it's terrible.
It is. It really is.
Before you can generate any power, you got to get on base to multiply that. There's nobody even getting on base.
No, there isn't. There really isn't. And the other thing is the lineups. We seem not to have a steady, like, leadoff hitter, a number three hitter. We don't really have a number three hitter. I'm sorry. Cabron Hayes playing third base, one home run, and X number of RBIs isn't going to cut it for a number three hitter.
No, and I thought he had turned the corner on that. I thought
Tellez is, like, if the baseball were cheeseburgers, he might be in the top 10 in hitting. But unfortunately, they're not. He was a bad pickup. He was something Milwaukee didn't want. Milwaukee's in first. They got the guy from Philadelphia, and we're in last. But we are going to make some moves. I could feel it, but that roster's got to change too.
Well, there's no question. Steve, thank you for the call. And if it doesn't change, they're going to end up just continuing to be in a pattern of quagmire, quicksand, whatever you want to call it, where they're just treading water to try to maintain whatever level they're at right now, which is not a good level. Josh Rountree is here. Josh, you're busy with the West Penn Golf Association. Congratulations on that job.
Thanks. It's good.
I know you're doing this as a big year, 125th anniversary.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a big anniversary over at Chartiers Country Club where
it is. 100th.
100th. So I'm sure that's going well, but I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to get your thoughts on Najee Harris. Are you like me that thinking this is not really that big a deal one way or the other? If they picked it up or not picked it up?
I'm not surprised, I guess, by it, but it's also not a huge number. I mean, if they would have picked it up, I think that they could have managed the cap around it.
That's why I thought they would.
Right.
But because they didn't, it doesn't strike me as a big one way or the other.
I'm not surprised that they didn't, because I just think it's more based on the value of the position now, where it's not a dime or dozen position, but it's just not as valuable as it once was. I mean, it's nothing against the player that Najee is or the player that he was coming out. I didn't like the move at the time to get him because I just think that you can find running backs all over the place. And guess what? There's a lot of people that will say the best running back on their team isn't Najee Harris, and it's a guy that they found undrafted. Yep. So, and even if he's not the best running back, he's still a very, very capable NFL running back that they were able to find, and he was an undrafted guy. So I just think you can find those guys all over the place. So from that standpoint, I'm not stunned, Bob, that they didn't pick up the option. But with the number not being crazy for him in that fifth year, that has me, I guess, in a sense, from that aspect, a little bit raising my eyes, I guess, my eyebrows, I guess, because I just thought for that number, it's probably something that they could have managed.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's surprising because they took him in the first round, and because you don't see that happen all that often, I was surprised last year. There were two guys taken in the first round running backs, Gibbs from Detroit and also Robinson from Atlanta, which was an Arthur Smith team.
Yeah.
And I didn't think you'd see that anymore for the reasons you cited.
Right.
And I don't know how much of a elite running back capability those guys are. Gibbs was good. There's no question. Robinson, not so much, I didn't think. Maybe they didn't use him the right way, whatever the case may be.
Which makes you wonder.
Right. I know that.
Right. Well, here's my question. Do you think, and it's something I want to get into on my show today, could we be looking at Najee Harris holding out, sitting for a while? I mean, do you think
that would be a bad move on his part? A bad move.
I agree, but I just think back to, you know, this past year, these running backs got together because they're not happy about their contracts, and he was one of the vocal guys about that. And I don't necessarily disagree with them because I think that position has been the way that you take a beating and the value that's been put on that position. I think I can get on board with them saying, hey, look, like, we're not necessarily being treated fair in terms of the way that this is all playing out anymore in the league. So I get where he's coming from with that. And I just wonder if he's going to look at this and say, you know, this was an opportunity for me to, you know, be here another year and to make some decent money in the last year of my deal. And you're cutting me out early. What's the incentive for me playing now on a 1 year deal? Like, I just think every player probably has that mindset or has people telling them that that should be their mindset. And you just wonder who he listens to in that situation. Right. I agree with you. I don't think it's a good move for him, but I do wonder if that could come into play once we get to Latrobe.
Yeah, it could, but I would be surprised. I get what he said last year when he met with everyone in training camp talking about that position, but at the same time, you're signed for this year. Just go out and do it. And if you are really good, somebody will give you what you want eventually. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, tell us what's cooking on West Penn Golf Association.
Yeah, we had a busy week, Bob. We had a busy week. We had three events that we were at, two of our own, and then there was the U.S. Open qualifier. How about the story from the U.S. Open qualifier with Sorkin, Nick Sorkin?
Penguin.
Former Pittsburgh Penguin farmhand, and just a guy that, you know, he's from like Maryland, West Virginia type area, and just grew up with golf, and he is the local top qualifier here. So he's going to go to the next stage, a sectional qualifier, and then try to get a chance to go to.
And he shot some great scores at that tough Swickley Heights golf course where the rough was extremely thick.
So I got there very early. I was there probably 6:45, 7 o'clock, and went out onto the green or the green area right around the third hole. And I stepped into the rough and looked down and couldn't see the tops of my shoes. Yeah. And I thought, this is going to be a challenge. It was U.S. Open caliber conditions.
With all the rain, all these courses should have nothing but thick roughs.
Yeah,
but that's
they're thick, they're long, and he shot 5 under, and he had 2 eagles on the front. Now that is his home course, so he had a little home cooking. He knew some of the advantages and disadvantages on where you play balls there. But it's a really cool story. I mean, that guy to go from a career in hockey and now looking at maybe a career in golf is pretty awesome. There's a lot of hockey players this time of year that are playing golf, including the Penguins, Bob. But he's a guy that is actually doing some pretty good things in golf. He's a good dude too. We talked afterwards, and he was really, really happy with that.
Well, congrats on the job. Hope
Thanks,
it continues.
Man.
Thank you. Josh will be here for what, 2 hours coming up?
Yeah, till 3, and then Buckos take over after that.
And they better do something.
They got to get the bats cooking.
Oh man. I mean, it's been a long week of nothing, or a hodgepodge of nothing. I hate to bring that back, but apparently we're heading in that direction. That was 2 years ago, was that 2 years?
Two years ago. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up. Joel, thank you very much, as always. Joel Nelson, you prevented Joe Starkey if he had tried to get on the air, and that'll be your challenge every single Saturday. I do never want to hear, hey, Bob. If I do, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to hear it. I know he's listening. He's trying to, you know, figure out what to do next. Joe, you ain't getting on, baby. 412-928-9370 is the number. Call Josh. He'll be here for the next couple of hours. I'm going to tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring into adventure. Great incentives through May 31st on the 2024 Trailblazer and Equinox. SunChevy.com. Rainy today. Chance of thunderstorms. High of 69. Much of the same tomorrow. In fact, this week looks like a lot of rainy days after what we had this past week. So that's going to do it for me. Thank you to Joel, and Josh is up next. Want to thank our sponsors real quick before we go. Number one, Cochrane, 24/7. Man, they're open all the time. Shop 24/7 with expressway at cochrane.com. PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC Bank.